Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host, Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
Teichmann brothers and their friends were turning the knobs and pushing the buttons on their machines to get synchronized when something strange happened. The machines started to breathe, and then a bit later they suddenly spoke in a strange language that they couldn't really understand. The brothers didn't know how to react. They tried to ignore the machines and keep it a hidden secret. The machines seemed to be nice, but who knows? Somehow they had the feeling that there was an unbelievably powerful force hiding beneath the friendly surface. Soon the machines started to whisper in their ears, "You have to do it. You have to do it." They didn't have any choice. After a while, people started to hear strange sounds and soon saw unseen things over their cities and even the sky. First in northern parts of Europe and then also over Asian, American, and African cities.
Star fam, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time to hear the colors and see the music. And I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Thank you for joining us tonight. Today is Friday, February 10th, 2012. And that was a sample off DJ Michael Scalar's new mix, Deep in the Zone. And we're going to be playing that mix throughout the show tonight. And of course, do not forget, Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by the Domain Eco Village. The Domain is an exclusive community for people with an environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. By utilizing wind and sunlight as an abundant and reliable source of renewable energy, and coupled with the strongest structure ever devised, the geodesic dome, this development showcases doing more with less and energy freedom for like-minded families. Check out the domainecovillage.com. Amazing stuff they're doing. Joining me on the show tonight, I am so excited. I'm in a great mood, Star Fam. There's a full moon this week, and I am charged up because we have some amazing guests on the show. Check out this lineup. First joining us on the show, we have none other than DJ Scalar doing a pop-in interview appearance, talking about some new project stuff he has going on. And then we have live on the scene guests. We have Edward Twitchell Hall III, also known as Ted. He is one of the main organizers of Occupy Wall Street, joining us live from Occupy Wall Street, downtown Manhattan, in New York City. Then we're going to have some 5D Galactic updates from Michael Elgeon, talking about the dry runs that the Galactic Federation have been doing and some cosmic sting operations. And then we're going to get into some economical and financial 3D updates with Andrew Ranting Andy Hoffman, talking about precious metals, and he's the marketing director for Miles Franklin, milesfranklin.com. And then on the second half of the show, we have none other than Colin Andrews, electrical engineer and world's number one crop circle researcher, will be joining us later on the second half of the show. And always just a reminder to check out starseedenergyradio.com during the week for the latest news and updates. Also, you can follow my Twitter feed, also my Facebook, and check out my YouTube channel. Just type in search Jonah Bolt and it will pop up. We have almost 800 views of last week's show. So within a week, we had almost 800 views on the last YouTube video that I put together. So thanks again, Star Fam, for all your support, everyone out there. It's because of you guys that the show is getting so big, and we're now reaching over 60 countries that are logging on to Starseed Energy Radio, and that's just amazing. So shout out to all the listeners out there, of course, the Galactic Federation of Light, all Starship Commanders, and all multiple dimensional beings of light. Thank you, everyone, for your support in and out of this dimension across the board. Awesome. So first, let's do a pop-in interview. We have DJ Scalar joining us on the show from Florida, where he just came back from his hometown in Hawaii. And Scalar, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
Doing real good. So we're playing some of your new mix. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show. We'll be playing it throughout the whole show tonight. And I just love this mix. I've been jamming it out all week. And just give us an update on some of the shows you've played, what's coming up, and what's going on.
I had a bunch of gigs out in Hawaii on Oahu. I was grounding the energy out there with some of our EE systems. We had two installs and decided to stay 3 weeks and reached out to some of the family there, and they had me play three gigs. And it was nothing other than bliss, and I really enjoyed it, and just got back home a few days ago and in the studio, you know, doing the music thing and trying to regroup and reground.
Excellent. That's what's up. Yeah. And, when I was down there and I saw you over the holidays and popped in Sebring, Florida, you're working on some new projects, some new tracks. What's going on with those? How you doing with the new tracks?
Well, like I said, I've only just got back in, and the energy was really fresh when I got back for creative energy coming out of Hawaii. As people who come out of Hawaii know, you know, it stimulates a lot of really good flow. So I did start four new tracks, and then also my mom, as you know, is a kahuna. We're going to do some vocal layovers with her chanting, which I'm not sure if you've had a chance to hear her energy, but it's pretty significant. So that should be fun. So we have a lot of really great projects going on. And then as far as global consciousness goes, she's been doing a lot over the years, and a lot of things are just coming to pan out now, a lot of which I can't even say because it's so epic and so, like, just about to blow up.
Nice.
And I don't even want to say it. It's so cool. But you will be one of the first people to hear about it when it does blow.
Excellent. That's what I was going to say. Just keep us in the post. And I know that the Scalar frequencies you put in your music and the stuff that your mother's doing, your mother, the doctor, is amazing stuff. Check out eesystems.com and check out michaelscalar.com. And DJ Scalar, Starbro, thanks for coming on.
All right, aloha.
Awesome. Talk to you soon. And with that, we're going to jump into some updates here. And, of course, all the updates that we've been focusing on and talking about. And one of the biggest updates is Occupy Wall Street. We've been covering it since it started. And joining us down from Manhattan, I spoke with him earlier today, is going to be Ted. And Ted was one of the original organizers on the Occupy Wall Street protest on, what was it, the 15th, I believe, when it kicked off. And he's been down there. And I remember seeing him in a bunch of YouTube videos, and I noticed him by the hat he was wearing. So it's funny how I saw him months ago in videos, and through a mutual friend, Mario, we linked up, and it's just a great energy, and great to have him on the show. So the station's going to call him right now. And just to give you some more Occupy updates, there was a huge rally in Russia this last week. 160,000 people rallied in the main square in Russia, and it was minus 10 degrees, and the people came together, and it was amazing. So check that out. I posted the picture up on the website. And also some amazing news that happened. It's just funny. Also with Occupy, the firefighters in Brussels or Belgium, was it, shuts down to protest austerity measures. So the Belgium people there basically did a huge general strike and cut down all the labor unions protested. And it's across the board. Again, it's in 80 countries, Occupy. Also another Occupy where firefighters got involved. The firefighters were striking now, joining, and the firefighters basically at one point, I saw the video at RT News, basically drenched the cops. The firefighters turned on their fire hoses and drenched the police officers, and the video was just amazing. That was from RT News. So again, this is going on all over the world in over 80 countries. It's an amazing movement. And now joining us on the air from Manhattan, from New York, is Ted, and Ted has been there since the beginning. Ted, thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jonah?
Doing great, doing great. So first, just give us an update, man. What's going on? What's new? What's happening in New York? You guys are doing a lot of good things. Just give us an update. What's happening?
Well, the biggest thing we're doing right now is starting to define our tactics once it gets warm again. We're kind of seeing a little preview of what could happen in the East Coast and some of the centers of power like D.C. and New York, and what we're seeing over at Occupy Oakland. So we have some Occupy Oakland protesters come in today and talk about the 400-person arrest that some of the viewers might have seen on the news, where there was not necessarily a black bloc, but there were protesters who were defending themselves against an onslaught of less lethal weaponry. And it was actually kind of intense to have some of the occupiers from Oakland explain literally like on the ground what they're already calling it, the Battle of Oakland. And so we're just trying to reevaluate, because we kind of set a precedent for a lot of the occupies all over the country. And that's what we were doing most of the day. We had like a 5-hour meeting with, you know, a couple hundred or like 100 or so occupiers. And it was quite an interesting discussion.
Wow, you guys are doing amazing work there, and absolutely, the cops have used tear gas, rubber bullets, flashbang grenades in Oakland on the protesters. I mean, for one, that's a federal offense. Cops can't even use that unless you're a felon. So it's amazing, the abuse, and they're about to crack down on the Asheville encampment here in Asheville. So a shout out to them on Valentine's Day. The police are about to clear the camp, so we're going through some stuff here. I was at a meeting a couple days ago. And what are some of the plans that you guys have for the summertime, come warmer weather? Do you have any strategic plans you're ready to put in place?
Well, there's some grumbling. Actually, in several cities, we got Occupy LA. We have Occupy DC, and I think two other occupies that are set to do this, occupying the green or occupying like golf courses. And we were thinking of trying to set up sort of like sustainable little communities there as a massive, you know, display of, you know, right now we have the worst wealth disparity in American history. That's worse than what existed during Rome's fall, and a pretty clear action that kind of says like who we need to start holding accountable in some ways in these country clubs, and also liberating space in a more interesting manner. Because we're starting to see that the real way we're going to win this is by showing the safe alternative that's existing all over, like that's being pioneered in Brazil. That they've got like a 30-village alternative, like resource flow and economy. Then you have like the Copenhagen Peace Village, and that's been going on for a really long time. So we want to try to do that along with this Occupy the Green thing, and we're looking at doing a tour, a sort of music, speakers, and art tour of skills. Nice. And booths to energize people from different regions, where everybody can adopt this model and go to neighborhoods, go to assemblies, and just lift stuff up from the ground and share skills and finally start to connect in the less online network manner and in real life.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what's up. We were talking earlier that the major answer to a lot of this is self-sustainability. You want to really occupy thing, occupy, you know, your self-sustainability, occupy the land yourself and sustain yourself against the system that's set up. The current system has to stop, has to end. It's not for the people. And self-sustainability to me is the really only answer.
Right. And there's a good Buckminster Fuller quote that goes along with that is, if you want to change something, don't fight it. Just create that which renders it obsolete. And we have that technology now. So, I mean, a lot of the, along with the tactics, we're realizing that it's we don't have to use this old model of kind of escalation and resistance and violence. And the more people, I mean, and everybody would be listening right now, this movement is the kind of thing that your input has a direct impact on it, and the mindset and the values of individuals that have their, you know, their minds open to, you know, the realities of things that people aren't discussing today, like, can have a good impact on
absolutely
on this very nascent movement that has a massive capacity to really help Americans in this what's bound to be a pretty intense year, like, no doubt
absolutely
about it.
Yeah, and talking about Bucky, my father used to work with Buckminster Fuller. We talked about this earlier, and I got baby pictures with Bucky, and that's what's up with the geodesic dome, the Domain Eco Village we talked about, and that's what's up. So we'll have you back on the show, Ted. Thanks for coming on the air and taking the time, and you'll give us some more updates, and we'll definitely have you back in the month to come. And stay strong, stay warm, and thanks for all the work you're doing, man. I really appreciate it, and send you light and love. And with all the listeners, thanks for everything.
Yeah, Lapa, thank you guys, and increase the peace.
That's it. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to listen to a little more DJ Scalar. Then when we come back, we're going to get a 5D galactic update from Michael Elejon. So here you go with some DJ Scalar. Welcome back. You are tuned to listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And now joining us on the air, on the show, is none other than Michael Elejon, prepareforthelandings.com, and has some amazing updates. So, Michael, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Very good.
Excellent. So you put out a great report this week, and there's been some amazing updates with the Galactic Federation of Light and the dry runs. So let's just update the listeners and what's been going on this week.
Well, there was an attempt, some people would call it, this last weekend on the 4th, that a little group of people were supposed to be physically beamed up, taken up, and didn't come about. Now, I had 2 days before that received, or I saw this vision and got a communication, because I had been through back in the late 70s and up, and from 1978 to 1982, I must have gone through about 24 dry runs, and it was very interesting because, you know, you have these confirmations, these verifications, quote-unquote, these synchronicities, little miracles that, in any other context, in any mundane thing, it was always guaranteed something was going to happen. And the maddening thing is, then when you deal with trying to announce, and, you know, twice I went on the news to this even, having, you know, learned to trust my guidance, these beings that saved my life, you know, a number of times. And so I had a good reason to believe this was going to happen, but... And no matter how many confirmations I received and others that were also involved in it, it didn't happen. Well, I partially kind of tuned into it, kind of like that the story of Job in the Bible where you know, the test of faith and what you go through is come and one of the major aspects. But there was something else I didn't really understand until just a few days ago on the 2nd, that this was all actually a strategy, kind of like when I saw the movie Sting many years ago, Paul Newman, Robert Redford. Ashtar, one of the beings who communicates with me all the time, he comments on things, and he said, well, we've got a cosmic sting program to outsmart the imbalanced forces, to, you know, and I realized that that might include nothing they would ever do to break universal law, but they would do sometimes, kind of like as Archangel Michael would say, cosmic espionage missions of light, where they would, you know, fool the imbalanced forces by appearing to do one thing but do something else, and so there would be some covert tactics, and so it seems that some of us chose to go through these dry runs to, because those are the times when certain forces, unlike any other time, would reveal themselves because of their determination to stop divine intervention. And I've always said that the two main things they would stop would be divine intervention and also helping us, I mean, would be those of us being able to, well, let's put it this way, that divine intervention, and the other thing would be to be able to release the Federal Reserve fiat, you know, usury system, and bring in a system that would release us from, you know, economic servitude, like a Nassara system that would be working for the will of the people rather than a few corrupt, you know, cabal members. So those two things they've been doing everything in their power to block for quite a few years now. Of course, now it's coming down to the wire. This year of 2012, I think, is going to be the ultimate year. But anyway, this dry run was to me one last kind of like, you know, check the water, you know, put your, kind of check, you know, to see what exactly one last attempt, see what forces would reveal themselves, because when you, something of this nature, and I don't care whether you announce it in the news or you quote, just share it with a few friends, the problem is that once it leaves your lips, so to speak, there's a lot of forces on this planet, traditionally up until now, whether they be spiritual or metaphysical or the cabal itself, that would block it, and anything in their power, they would do it. So I realized that back in the late 70s, early 80s, I was acting, it's kind of like dangling a carrot in front of these forces. And because I sincerely believed it, because they can read minds too, they believed it also. So they, and I've turned back later on and realized there were black ops with their, you know, back engineered laser systems. They were going to actually blow us away, you know, and try to turn it into an alien invasion scenario. So there's been a tactical maneuver to basically help get these forces to expose themselves, because those are the times when they would reveal themselves in ways they wouldn't normally do, by trying to block something that was the most important priority of our entire life, is to active get divine intervention to occur. So anyway, so in that sense, I think it's come to a close now. This event was, it was, some people very sincerely thought they were going to be taken up. But then, of course, later, a number of these people noticed white, you know, government vans parked by their, not too far from their house. They got their computers messed with, emails screwed with, and all things like that. So it was obviously the government was, you know, taking it very seriously, as they always do with these situations, because they monitor people all the time anyway. But the point was that this was another dry run, but it was also allowing the higher forces to get a beat on what these imbalanced forces are up to that they normally wouldn't reveal because of their determination to stop these events. So it seems like they've revealed themselves enough that with also with the new energy coming on the planet, and about half the cabal has now been kicked to the curb or have joined the light, the side of the light.
And, Michael, where can listeners find out more information and get your newsletters? Do you have a blog site or news site?
It's not really a newsletter. It's an email blast that I send out. I guess you could call it a newsletter. I mean, I will forward a lot of times other emails that I get or things that I, you know, things that I write up. But a lot of times I'm just forwarding stuff that I think is important that other people should be aware of. But you can email me at Vortex Network. That's Vortex, V-O-R-T-E-X, network at hotmail.com. And I'll put you on the, you know, email list for events. I also have webinars coming up, which is a workshop over the Internet. First one is February 26th on a Sunday from 1 to 4. And you can also call me at 480-888-6548. That's 480-888-6548. Because I have a couple options of how one can sign up for it. That's going to be, it's called Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory and Final Preparation for Open Mass Contact. That's coming up on the 26th. And a three-hour webinar. And then on March, I'm doing a channeling class, too. And I also have, and every Thursday here in Seattle, which is broadcast through Ustream, I have a metaphysical meeting where I channel the different masters called Dialogues with the Galactic Masters. and Launching Pad 2 meetings that I have here. So those are a couple things. And then we also have UFO Skywatches using night vision goggles. And we have also coming up the UFO Congress, which is the big UFO conference every year, the biggest one in the world. It's going to be right here in Phoenix.
That's right.
And so that's 6 days. You're going to be able to watch the ships flying around over the Internet, over the Phoenix area, because Bill, Alec, who hooked these night vision goggles up to the Internet. Nobody's ever done that before. This is a first.
Wow, so that's excellent. I've actually, when I was in Florida, I used to train with the Florida Militia, and we've been out there with the night vision and done some training, and I definitely have seen some stuff out there. And Michael, again, thank you for coming on and giving us updates. And as always,
this is the first time anybody's taken night vision goggles and hooked them up to the Internet. So anywhere on the planet, you will be able to see what's going on.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's UFO,
well, thank you for coming on, as always. And we'll definitely have you back on next month, and you'll give us some more updates. So you have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on, Michael.
Okay, take care.
All right. And with that, I'm just going to go over some quick news and updates. Then we're going to get Ranting Andy Hoff on the line. So we'll have the station call him right now and get him on. But just want to go over some quick news articles that I saw this week. Real briefly, just give you some headlines and we'll put the stuff up. Hungary destroys all Monsanto GMO cornfields. That happened this week. Hungary has taken a bold stand against biotech giant Monsanto and genetic modification by destroying 1,000 acres of land there. It's against the law. They found out that Monsanto had some crops growing there that went and destroyed them. Awesome, good stuff. And you know, that's the kind of stuff that we need to really see here and everywhere else, is the people, the local governments stepping up and banning this stuff. Also, talking about Japan, it's still in the news, even though it hasn't been too much of the news over here. But Japan, basically this article says Japan priest fights invisible demon radiation. Talks about how some priests in a town in Japan have been taking the soil themselves and hiding them behind their temples because the government nor the nuclear power plant operators, Tokyo Electric, are coming to pick this stuff up. So the monks themselves have to pick up this radioactive stuff and dump it behind their temples there. So it's crazy what's going on. So I'll put that up there. So send some light and love if you can out there. There's also a no war in Iran protest that happened February 4th. It's set for 56 cities. So a shout out to that. It was Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. It was a coalition. It was in U.S., Canada, India, Ireland, Bangladesh, England. No war with Iran. You know, that's been building up with Syria and what's going on over there. Now they put sanctions on Iran with their banks. That was signed by Obama on the 6th, an executive order to stop all transactions in all countries with all over the world with Iran, their bank system. So that's going to be, you know, a crazy thing that's going on. And also, according to the FBI, this came out this week, Internet privacy law is now considered to be suspicious activity. That means that if you're in a public place and you're being sort of secretive, or you don't want people looking at your screen, they're telling people that, well, that's suspicious activity. And they've been putting out different news bulletins and stuff, the FBI, to report people like that. So now if you're trying to be private in a public place like Starbucks with what you're doing on the Internet, you are considered a possible terrorist. It's crazy. And one last thing is full body scans rolled out in Australia in international airports. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and it's official. They rolled it out. Full body scans, not cool. That stuff is really bad for you, destroys your DNA. There's lots of people now that work for TSA that are coming out, that are coming up with cancer. So not good stuff. And going into some 3D economic and financial updates, joining us on the show is Andrew Ranting Andy Hoffman. Andy, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jonah.
Absolutely. So you're a precious metals, into the precious metals side of the financial system that we have here. We've been talking, at least on this show for a while, about how bad the financial system is, talking about the paper, the derivatives. So just jump into it. Explain to the listeners exactly how the financial paper system is basically meaningless. It's worthless.
Right. Well, basically, every fiat currency system in the history of mankind has failed. And actually, my piece today that'll be out Monday, I've been writing, goes back in time to the 10th century when the first paper currency systems failed. This is the first time in history where we've had a global fiat system where there's not a single country on earth that has a currency backed by anything. And in fact, the only backing per this bastardized system that was created in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire in 1944, is the U.S. dollar, which is backed with nothing. So in 1971, when we went off the gold standard in the United States, that was the last time that there was any real backing of paper. And it took 40 years to get to this point, and we're basically at the end of the line because now all the money that gets printed it just creates additional debt and additional economic woes.
Absolutely, and that's what one of the important things of, and this goes back to the ages, is gold and silver and precious metals. Give us an update on where you see metals going and why it's so important to have precious metals at this time.
Right, and it's not a matter of where the metals will go, because the metals don't go anywhere. They just sit and hold their intrinsic value. It's where the currencies are going to go. And the U.S. dollar, for instance, has lost 98% of its value since the Federal Reserve was created by a secret kind of illegal congressional vote on Christmas Eve 99 years ago. And, you know, the money printing now, not just in the States, but everywhere, is going exponential, particularly Europe, Japan, even China, which pegs its currency to our dollar, has to print as much as we print. So my prediction is that ultimately we're going to see hyperinflation, and I don't mean 10 years from now. I mean, potentially we could see it in parts of the world, you know, this year. We could see it in Greece, you know, within months if they default and decide to leave the Eurozone. Precious metals are not an investment. They are simply value, and it's the only way to protect yourself against the hyperinflation of the money supply that's going to be going on throughout the world. Look, the Federal Reserve just last week said we are now officially keeping interest rates at zero until at least 2015, when they know that even their fudged inflation numbers are higher than interest rates right now. So we're going to see money printing going on to infinity, and we're going to see gold and silver go up at an exponential rate at some time very soon.
And talking about the MF global scandal, if you want to call it that, or debacle, you know, where that's Obama's right-hand man right there who's directly involved in that, it just goes to show you how these banksters, these, you know, are in people's face. It's just unbelievable. And can you talk about some of the other firms and stuff like that that you see going down as a result of the financial, you know, implosion that's going to happen?
Right. Well, MF Global is a perfect example because John Corzine not only was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, he was also a governor and a senator. And then, of course, he came into this firm, which basically has been around for 100 years, and destroyed it in a year or two. Not that they haven't had problems before with illegal activities. That's how Goldman Sachs got a hold of them 10 or 15 years ago. They used to be Refco, which was scandalized. It was a Goldman Sachs client. Look, these bankers have taken over the country about 15 years ago. It was when we saw Robert Rubin become the first Treasury Secretary. Since then, Wall Street people have taken over the major positions in Washington. They're the biggest campaign contributors to Obama, to George W. Bush, and now to Mitt Romney, who's going to win unless something crazy happens. And, you know, this is what's happened throughout history. The bankers, you know, find ways to print the money, and then they take over the government, and they destroy it.
That's right, and we need to do something like what Iceland did, where they arrested the bankers, threw them in jail, and now they have one of the strongest economies in the world within a year's time of ousting all the banks there, and America needs to do something like that. And Andy, where can listeners find out and get in contact with your blog and your information so they could follow your updates and reports on precious metals and also the economic stuff you report on?
Right, and I'm the director of marketing at Miles Franklin. We're one of the biggest bullion dealers in the country. I write every day, 5 days a week, I should say, as does the founder of our firm, David Sheckman. You can get on our free list to get these, I call them rants. Just go to MF Global, to milesfranklin.com, and you can sign up on the homepage.
There you go. Easy. So, milesfranklin.com, and it's an amazing site. I've checked it out. I've read your posts, and it's good information you put out. And we'll have you back on maybe once a month, and you can give us updates, keep us updated on the financial system, what's going on with the precious metals. And again, listeners, precious metals is the way to go. the money dollar bills you have, you can basically wipe your butt with them because it's monopoly money. And one day we're just going to wake up and that's it. Right, Andy?
Absolutely. And it's going to be a lot quicker than people think.
That's right. So thank you again for coming on the show. And again, check out milesfranklin.com where you can check out Rant and Andy's posts. Thanks, Andy.
Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thank you. And with that, we're going to enjoy another minute or so of Scalar's music. When we come back, we have the number one crop circle researcher in the world, Colin Andrews, coming on. Here you go, DJ Scalar.
You truly deserve you the eternal joy and happiness. You truly deserve you the eternal joy and happiness.
Welcome back. You are tuned in and listening to Star Sea Energy Radio. And those were some amazing interviews. Michael Elijah, Andy, and Occupy with Ted, and also Scalar. Thank you guys for coming on. And now joining us on the show is Colin Andrews. Just give you a little background on Colin Andrews. If you don't know who he is, Colin's research basically has expanded into the study of human consciousness, started with crop circles years back. He has an amazing site with lots of information. You can check out Colin Andrews.net is his site. And without any further ado, Colin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure, Jonah. Good evening.
Good evening. And first, let's just start off, Colin, as I like to ask a lot of my guests, is when was your first awakening when you realized things were greater than what we have been programmed to believe? When was your first real awakening with crop circles and how you first got into the UFO phenomenon?
Well, it was in July 1983. It happened very quickly. In fact, in about half a second, I was a senior official then in regional government in Great Britain, and I was on my way to a meeting. I was on high ground driving my vehicle alone, and I literally just took a half-second casual glance to the left. I was on high ground, and I saw a set of five circles, perfect circles, forming a cross in a wheat field. And I made my way down a very steep embankment. It took me about 20 minutes or so to get into the field. And what I saw, while obviously literally changed my life, it changed my country, it changed a lot. And, you know, I stood there actually in awe at what I was looking at once I'd eventually made my way into the first set of circles there. It was very obvious. I'm an engineer, and my whole life basically has been a matter of trying to resolve problems of one sort or another. And I looked at this. The plants were moving slowly. They were making a sound where they were kind of unraveling from being flattened and spiraled. I could hear them clicking. And so the research started right there. And along the way, over the last now 30 years, believe it or not, you know, I have very much moved my own disposition of the kind of scientist engineer to a person who thinks, because I've been obliged to think very laterally, there is, as you know, much more happening than appears in our reality.
Absolutely. And that's something when I was speaking to you earlier before the show, we mentioned that once you have that burst of initial light, once you have that initial experience, then that's it. It's like the light switch gets turned on. And as for myself, about a year and a half ago, I couldn't look at reality the same way because I had experienced what I've always felt inside and believed to be true. And that was it. And it's the same with you. Now, you've done a lot of stuff. You have a presentation at the United Nations, the World Genesis Foundation, Ambassador for Youth Program, and preparing our children for the future beyond 2012. That's something new that you're doing. Tell listeners about what that program is and how you're working with the kids now.
Well, I'm really trying to bring what we know and what we think we know and leaving lots of doors open for what we where we think these things are leading us into a new paradigm and with new minds. And it really is to encourage all I can as an individual with a lot of other people working with me to encourage our young people to take up the challenge and to be brave enough to go with the fire inside. You know, we work very much, of course, in traditional ways with textbooks and, you know, very much about the old regime of thinking styles, but to listen to the inner voice and to allow those feelings to manifest and to question them, of course. And when you feel the time is right, I believe you will know that, is to take up the challenge and be brave enough to go with it, because this generation is going to be the generation that counts. I know that. I know it in my bones. All of the science, all that is happening in our world, strongly suggests that this is the crossroads. And so all I'm doing is trying to encourage, through science and facts, our young people to pursue, as the Occupy movement are, truth, to bring about justice in a very unjust world, to renew and replenish the past and to move forward with hope. It's very important in these very difficult times, and there is, frankly, I think, worse to come, as your previous guests have all indicated. There is worse to come, but we don't need to be driven by fear. You know, we are together in this, and it is our place to ensure that nobody is left behind. So we move forward together with the science and with the heart and with respect for one another.
And that's it. You hit it right in the head that we all move forward together. And the Occupy movement is amazing, is an amazing movement of consciousness and truth. And that's why I even started this show, was to reach my generation and the teens and the 20-year-olds and the children and the crystallines. And they're amazing and they speak truth. I've had them on the show, 7-year-olds, 9-year-olds. And they speak all truth. They're amazing. And they're our leaders for tomorrow. And people need to acknowledge that and listen to the children. And they're so important what they speak with right now. So that's amazing work with the Ambassador for Youth Program. So check that stuff out on Colin's website. And since you're talking or mentioned the conscious shift of what's going on, explain to the listeners from your perspective what people can expect, or what you feel people can expect of what's going to happen this year in this 2012 shift of consciousness.
Well, you know, my kind of beginning down this road of discovery started, as I said, in 83. And at that time, it was a matter of gathering data, looking at what was happening in the crop circle phenomena, as you know, a term that I coined back in the 80s when they were simple circles. Well, that subject in of itself, that enigma, evolved. It has become complex and perhaps too complex for me to go into detail this evening, but it suggested that we were moving in a direction towards a chaotic period, certainly in the environment and in the infrastructure, the planetary and humanities infrastructure. This was strongly suggested by the symbolism and the meaning of those symbols, at the placement of them, and some of the interaction that has been going on between a higher mind and some of the people involved, including myself. As I say, there's a lot to cover, and maybe in another program we can go into that. But
Sure.
That subject indicated that there was a plan and that we were evolving towards a critical time. And so that critical time is now supported by the 2012 Mayan prophecy, which I was privileged and honored to write the Complete Idiot's Guide book of 2012 with my wife. We were asked to do that because of some of the background that I have and she has too. And in the study for that book, we investigated something apparently and seemingly separate, although it truly actually wasn't when it came down to it, because, you know, I was speaking with elders, the Mayan elders. We were speaking to NASA people and scientists, to the primary researchers in this subject of the Mayan prophecy. And once again, we could see that this, too, spelled out by scholars in their day, astronomers and astrologers, and they combined the two beautifully, and came out with a prediction of a period of time. Well, that happened to be exactly the same period of time that the crop circle phenomena was also indicating. And then here we now have two primary areas of research indicating the same thing. And putting those aside, I then looked at, and this was easy to do, and anybody can do it, was to look at the, you could say, the planet's infrastructure, those trend lines that support a healthy planet. And those are Earth changes. You know, on Earth, they depend upon, of course, humanity, because it is in control of and responsible for, it would seem, all the other species, and doing a pretty poor job of it. And so make sense of it, we have to look at religion and politics, population of 7 billion climbing, and then back to the infrastructure of the Earth, climate change, human health, economy, which you've just been covering, the environment, temperature change, global warming, the astrology, the astronomy, solar cycle 24, and so on. Social trends, which, of course, the Occupy movement is part of. It's a reaction to a suppression, to an unfairness, and all these things also happened to come to a collision point in the end of 2012. You know, I've had, I'm trying to get an awful lot in here, of course, but these are now three regions all indicating the same thing. And so we cannot ignore all of them. So what we have come to, I have come to accept actually for quite some years, but here we are now at 2012, is that we were going to be looking and are looking at a decoupling of our entire infrastructure. This is a clean sweep coming down to what is truly zero point, which will be that time, and it could only be that time, that systems are realigned, readjusted with new minds, and this is where this current generation truly we look to step up to this one and to do a better job than all previous generations with truth, seek truth, demand truth, and work for a better world, a better environment with fairness. And as I say, that truly is the background to what I think 2012 is. It is transition. This is not the end of the world. This is transition. And I'm sure many of your guests will have said over the weeks and months you've been doing this wonderful show, this is transition. This is the time. This is our time. You know, we have to sweep clean the 1%, and 99% of us move forward and restructure. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's like this. The paradigm which we operate under is mathematically going to end. The end of the world as we know it does not mean it is the end of the world. And the way of life we are currently leading is pulling humanity down, and it should be shown the door. And we cannot change the world to make ourselves happy or free. We must change ourselves to make the world happy and free. And the awakening process, the awakening process is a very hard road for those with no guidance. And that's all we're trying to do from the bottom of my heart, from your heart, is just helping awaken other people and lead the way to this beautiful truth that we have experienced and turn the light on for others. And I know we're on the same path. And
yes,
talking about some of the stuff you're working on is, and I've been covering this as well, are all these strange sounds people are hearing around the world. What is your take on that? What can you tell us?
Well, my take on that particular phenomenon and others that are new is that if we are to accept, as I do, that all that I've just said, that, you know, the planet's decoupling, these are systems that are decoupling, each one interconnected to the other, a complex maze of interconnectivity is now colliding down to zero point. So we would expect, we would in science expect, to see new phenomena show its hand. New adjustments going on between all of these collapsing systems are bound to bring about new phenomena because we're looking at a new period coming up, and it's happening now. It's not waiting to the 21st of December this year. It's happening now. And so, you know, when we saw the Norway spiral back now a couple of years, there was mysterious sounds, some of which, of course, we know are hoax, that unfortunately goes with the baggage that humanity holds. You know, for everything and anything we get involved with, we have a faction that will attempt to, you know, shoot us in the foot and take us off course. So accepting there will always be that in all of these subjects, including the crop circle phenomena and the UFO. The sounds are very interesting. I've had a couple of sound engineers. I'm an electrical engineer myself, and I have some knowledge in this area, but I'm not an expert on the sound. So I've asked for others to look at it, and I know you have had experts on the program too. I believe we're probably looking, and I say I believe, you know, taking advice from sound experts who have looked at the traces on the oscilloscopes, just taking out of the equation those that have been repeated many times over, which have been hoaxes, you're left with some very hardcore, excellent data points. And these, I believe, on advice, are resonances that are vibrational frequencies from the upper atmosphere with solar wind activity interacting with our place in the cosmos. You know, it was very much predicted by the Maya that sounds would appear, mysterious sounds at this time. And I think the science at the moment indicates that's probably what is happening, that the parabolic effect of the outer atmosphere is beaming into very specific places. And that changes, of course, as the Earth's rotation around the sun and around its axis takes place, the beam moves to other locations. And so there is something happening, I think, very good scientists looking at this, except there is something happening, but it doesn't end there. We have other new phenomena taking place too, images appearing on digital cameras. I've been intensely involved in several of them, but one in particular which excites me a lot, because I've got a team of seven scientists in PhDs looking at a photograph that was taken by a well-known singer in Great Britain. Is Annie Haslam. She's the the lead vocalist, isn't she, of the English classic rock band Renaissance, just as to who she is.
Wow.
But she took a photograph in October of last year, just as the heavy rain was turning to snow, which turned into the record-breaking snowfall of October last year, lost power on her house for 3 days and so didn't have access to the computer, hence why she didn't look at the photograph. In fact, forgot she'd taken the photograph until 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and was astounded. She sent that high-res photograph to me, and I was astounded. It's a photograph which I'm going to be showing for the first time. The copyright has just been settled and approved by her attorney. All of the research is now in. It clears reflection in the glass, etc. And we're looking, Jonah, at something quite extraordinary. It's the first I've ever seen. There are two UFOs over her garden. I can say this now, and I'll certainly be showing the photograph at the International UFO Congress the end of next, was it 2 weeks' time, down in Phoenix, in Arizona. I've been cleared to show it down there with the report. And so these are gold discs with, one has to say, it clearly is engineered artifacts around the edge of these beautiful golden good objects with a kind of a glyph-type arrangement on the top of each of them. Quite extraordinary. So that's new. I mean, we've put it out. We've checked with the major databases around the world. Nobody's ever seen anything like this before. It's new. We're looking at people in the Netherlands and other parts of the world who are recording on their digital camera faces of deceased people. Now, this is kind of going across the gambit of subjects. We're looking at people who have not missing time, but gained time after UFO experiences. I'm in touch with a researcher who's listening to this program now in England. He knows who he is, who is working with me, interviewing, this has been ongoing for many months, a police sergeant who saw three light beings at a major archaeological site there on the edge of a Mayan crop circle. Now, this is a police sergeant who's been responsible over the years, you know, on his testimony for placing people in prison, now saying that he has seen three extraterrestrials, light beings, who faded away as he was approaching them. So, anyway, I'll end it there. But, you know, these are new phenomena at a new time. And it's all part, I am sure, of the transition.
Absolutely. And I've been hearing that just in the last year. There's so many new developments and things. And absolutely, I agree with you on that. And again, thank you, Colin, for so much coming on the show. I wish we had more time. But as always, we'd love to have you back and give us some more updates on the work with the sounds and the new photos of UFOs and any other work that you do. You are always welcome to come on the show. And again, thank you for coming on. And just give out your website and information for all the listeners.
That's my pleasure, Jonah. It's colinandrews.net, colinandrews.net. And thank you very much for having me on.
Excellent. Colin, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I am sure we will talk soon.
We will. Thank you, Jonah.
Yeah, have a good night. And with that, we're going to enjoy some more DJ Scalar, and then we'll do a quick wrap-up. So here you go, deep in the zone.
I'm right to be.
Welcome back. That was an amazing interview from Colin Andrews. Colin, thank you for coming on the show, and love to have you back. I'm sure we will in the future. And real quickly, upcoming guests next week, we have three huge guests coming on. We have Dichroic Glassman, local from here in Asheville, and also his son coming on. We also have Michelle Manders, where Love, Light, Truth, and Wisdom reside, from palaceofpeace.net. And then we have on the 24th, Alan Steinfeld from Power of Perception, Creating New Realities. That's New Realities is New York's portal for consciousness and holistic activities. Check out newrealities.com. And March 9th, we have Jonathan Talat Phillips coming on the show with his new book, Electric Jesus. You can check out talithealing.com. Also coming up the next month, I'm going to have Four Bears coming on the show. He's a Native American Indian medicine man local here in Asheville. I spoke with him today. He's going to be coming on. Also, Dr. Richard Allen Miller, author, scientist. He's been on the show before. We're going to have him back. Dr. Deer is going to be coming on the next week or two, talk about holistic medicine. And then also, I spoke to Mario today, and it is official. We're going to get a Mayan elder on the air. It's a little tricky because we have to get a translator. They don't speak English, but we have one, and we're working on that. So we're going to bring in Mayan Elder to the airwaves this year, 2012. That's what's up. So I'm just going crazy with guest star fam. It's a year we got to get the information out. So again, thank you for all the support out there. Get the truth out. Get this show out far and wide. Check out my news feed on my Twitter, Facebook, or check out Starseed Energy Radio. And again, shout out to everyone in the support out there. It's just been amazing. Again, we're all leaders. Awaken one by one is how we do it. Get the information out there. Good night. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to end with some more Deep in the Zone by DJ Scalar. Talk to y'all next week. Enjoy. Sick of waiting, debating, and not else you wanna do.